All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, for the message this morning. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use that Bible. Ruth, chapter 1. This is an amazing story. Took place during the period of the Judges. Many years ago, but is a story that is important to the Bible. If you continue reading the story, you see some wonderful things develop through the life of Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their boys, and it's just a wonderful story. Full of picture, of promise for the coming Savior, and we'll see all that in just a moment. But Ruth chapter 1, let's begin reading in the first verse, and you follow along as I read the scripture. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died." So when they got to Moab, Elimelech dies. "And she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the women, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." So they got into Moab. These boys married Moabite girls, and then the boys died. So now here's Naomi. She's alone with her two daughters-in-law who have lost their husbands. All right, verse 6. "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." All right, now if you'll go back to verse 1, you'll see the reason that they left was there was a famine in the land of Judah. And so they left Judah, which means praise. Bethlehem means the house of bread. So they left the house of bread in the land of praise to go to Moab. Moab, during the time when the children of Israel were in the wilderness under Moses, had a curse pronounced upon it because of their treatment of the Jews in the wilderness. And so they had a curse upon them from God. The interesting thing is that Moab is always a picture of the world in the Bible. Famine is always a picture. It always reveals testing. And so here they were in Judah, in the land of praise, in Bethlehem, in the house of bread in the land of praise, and Elimelech, whose name means "my God is king." Kind of ironic, isn't it? And he doesn't live that way. Instead of trusting God during difficult times, he runs off to the world, looking for the world to provide, to Moab. And so when he got there, he died, his two boys died, and now here is Naomi, and she gets word, somebody tells her that the famine is over. And so she starts thinking about home. Look at verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. In other words, she said, girls, I want you to go back to your mama. You don't have any tie to me. You don't have any responsibilities to me. Go back to your mothers. All right? The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. So in other words, she's saying, I want you to leave. You go find some other men to marry. You're not bound anymore. Your husbands are dead, so you're free to marry. Go marry and go on with your life. All right, that's what she's saying there. All right, verse 9, middle of the verse, it says, then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. In other words, she quit talking to her about it. She just said, okay. All right, now using these verses, I want to speak to you this morning on Ruth's choice, the choices of Ruth. I trust the message will encourage your heart this morning. I want you to listen very carefully and let the Lord use His word to speak to your heart. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful that we have a Bible. We're thankful that this book is the eternal word of the living God. And its truths are as eternal as the God who gave them. And so, Father, help us this morning as we look at these verses to see eternal truths that will encourage us and strengthen us in our faith. Father, we just thank you for the testimony of this godly woman. Thank you for the example that she gives us. And I pray that you will bless as we look at the choice that she made in her life and the outcome of that choice, what it meant to her and to those that knew her. And so, Lord, help us to be able to apply to ourselves and realize that the choices that we make in life have eternal consequences. The choices that we make in life affect others around us. And so, Father, I pray that we will give an ear to what we hear this morning, and may it make a difference in our lives. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. and amen. I love the story of Ruth. It's an amazing little book. It is such a simple story, and yet it is so full of picture and promise of our coming Redeemer. The book of Ruth begins with a very humble family living in a little village, the little town of Bethlehem. And this family had roots that took them back to the early days of Bethlehem and its founding. To the days where Rachel was buried there along the main road. And those of you that have been to Israel with Karen and I, you remember stopping along the main road as you're coming from Jerusalem down into Bethlehem and seeing the place where Rachel was buried. And back in those days, it was not known as Bethlehem, but it was instead known as Ephratah. Or Ephrath. And this family had roots that went back many, many generations to the city of Ephrath, which became the city of Bethlehem. Now, the father in this story, his name was Elimelech. And then there is a mother in this story, and her name was Naomi. And they had two boys. They had a son named Mahlon, and they had a son named Chilion. And as I told you a moment ago, all of this plays into the story. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Beth in the scriptures, Beth means the house of, and Lechem is bread, the house of bread, and Elimelech, his name means God is my king. And you would have thought that the man with a name like that, who came from a town with a name like the House of Bread, in a county or in a region that was named Judah, which means praise, might have trusted God to supply all of his needs. But what we find out here is in verse 1, when famine came into the land, that Elimelech lost heart and decided to leave the house of bread and search for a place to live where food could be found. You see, in the house of bread, there was no bread in the house. And so instead of trusting in the Lord, he took his wife and his sons and he left Bethlehem, crossed the Jordan River, and started looking for refuge in the land of Moab. He was looking for a new life and for a new start and for a new home in the land of Moab. Now, when he reached Moab, he no doubt thought this strange land would meet every need that he had. Why else would he have stopped in Moab and settled down there? But he did. And Moab became home for Elimelech and his family. As time passed, so naturalized were they in their new area that the sons of Elimelech and Naomi both married women who were Moabites, not Jews. They were so naturalized, they were so in agreement that they married Moabite women. Mahlon married a Moabite wife by the name of Ruth, and Chilion married a Moabite woman by the name of Orpah. Now, it's not Oprah. That's Orpah, all right? And as you continue reading in this first chapter, as the years passed, so did their family situation. The patriarch of the family, Elimelech, passed away. And as a grave was opened in the land of Moab, another opened in Naomi's heart as she had to bury her husband in that strange land. But then you keep reading and you find that things continued to go on a downhill slide for this family. For both of Naomi's sons also passed away in the land of Moab. Moab was nothing now but a sad and depressing place for Naomi. Her whole life came crashing down around her as in this strange land she lost her husband and her two sons. Now, as one would expect, she started longing for Bethlehem. And then came word to her through someone, somehow, that the famine that was in Bethlehem had started to fade and that the land was coming back. And so she decided in her heart of hearts that she wanted to return once again to Bethlehem. She had nothing in Moab now. Her husband's gone. Her sons are gone. And so she decided that she wanted to return to the land of her birth. As she journeyed, she told her two daughters-in-law, you girls need to turn back and go back to your families, go back to your mothers, go back to your homes, and stay here in Moab. They were leaving their loved ones behind. They were going to a place where they would be considered outsiders. You see, back in the days when this story took place, outsiders, those that were not Jews, were not welcomed. They were not tolerated in Israel. They strictly kept to their own, and they did not want the Moabites or the Ammonites or any of the Canaanites around them. And so she begged them to go back. I mean, after all, her argument was, you girls are young, and hopefully you can find another husband, and you can have children, and you can have a happy home. So go back. Do not follow me. Do not come to Judah. She did not feel that she could sacrifice these young girls' lives just for the sake of her aging heart. So she kissed them, and amid her tears, she told them to return to the land of Moab. Now, as we read the story, we find out that one of the girls, Orpah, decided that that was a good idea, and even though it broke her heart to leave Naomi, she returned and went back to Moab. But Ruth made a surprising decision. And that is dealt with here in this first chapter. Ruth made a surprising choice. She told Naomi that she was not going to go back to Moab. She said to her, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." And she made the decision that wherever Naomi was going, that's where she was going, and she followed Naomi back to Jerusalem. What a choice she made. What a decision was made on that road that would eventually take Naomi back to Bethlehem. Now, that's the story. Everybody understand the story now? All right, now with that foundation, I want to show you four things about Ruth's choice this morning. The first thing I want you to see is this. Ruth's choice was the choosing of one who loved her dearly. Folks, you cannot help but see how much Naomi loved these girls. I think it was a difficult decision, but I think that difficult choice that Ruth made was made a whole lot easier because of the great love that she knew Naomi had for her. As you read Naomi's plea for the girls to return, you can see just how much she loved these two girls. Look at verse 7 for just a moment and notice that both girls went with her out of Moab to Jordan. What transpired here? Naomi knew the road. She knew the way from Moab to Judah. She had both girls with her. Was her intent to take both girls with her, and then once she got on the road, she started thinking these girls would be better off going back to Moab? And is that where she had her change of heart? I don't know. But I do know that she was on the road. She was headed towards Bethlehem when she made the decision and gave the girls the option and the choice to decide what they wanted to do. But I want you to see that it was her deep love and concern for the girls that they each have a happy future, and that's what caused her to speak up and suggest that they return to the land of Moab. Look at your Bible, please. Look at verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and as ye have dealt with the dead and with me, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they, all three of them, lifted up their voice and wept. Folks, you cannot read this without seeing just how much Naomi loved these two girls and how much these two girls loved her. And I want you to notice that when given the choice, Ruth chose not to go back to Moab, but instead to stay with Naomi. Why? Well, she trusted Naomi because she knew that she loved her dearly. She knew that there would always be sunshine and strength if she was living near the heart of Naomi's love. And that is why every mother prays for her children to walk with the Lord Jesus. That's why every mother prays for her child to walk with the Lord. She knows that the Lord loves them with a love so deep and so generous. And if they walk with the Lord, they will see just how sincere and how strong His love is. Folks, how can you walk away from someone that loves you that much? How can you do that? And that's clear in this passage of Scripture. Listen, is not that what the Bible tells us about the love of the Lord? Of course it is. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, we love Him because He first loved us. You see, He loved us so much that He came to this earth and willingly died on the cross of Calvary for our sin. And folks, I'm just saying that it was easy for Ruth to love Naomi. It was easy for Ruth to make the choice that she made because she knew that Naomi loved her and cared. It's easy to make the choice when to stay with someone who loves you that much. And Ruth had a choice to make here, and her choice was made much easier because she knew that Naomi loved her dearly. She would be safe by Naomi's side. She would be secure by Naomi's side. And can we not all see a beautiful picture of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage of Scripture? You know, if you know the Lord, you have absolutely nothing to fear by your choice of trusting in the loving heart of your Savior. You have nothing to fear, Christian. I mean, you are safe in Christ. You are secure in Christ. The devil can't harm you in Christ. The devil can't get to you. Sin can't get to you. Even our last enemy, death, is powerless against us. For the Bible says that to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul asked a question in the book of Romans, and then he answered that question. And here was his question. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, I'm just saying it's not too difficult to choose Christ when we realize that the one that we are choosing loves us so dearly. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice that Ruth's choice was made when everything was going badly for her. Ruth's choice was made when things were very difficult in her life. Think about that. It seems that it's difficult enough in life to make good choices. But when our world has crumbled around us, then it's even more difficult to make sound and wise choices in life. When faced with choices to make, we can always find arguments for what we would like to do, and there seems so few for what we ought to do. But Ruth made her choice when her life was filled with agonizing difficulty. Think about that, folks. Her father-in-law just died, and then her husband died, and now her sister-in-law is going back to Moab, and her mother-in-law is going to Bethlehem. I'm telling you, her whole world has just crumbled around her. But notice that is when she made her choice. I want you to think about some of the difficulties she was facing. First of all, she had her past against her. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean, she had grown up in Moab. She was raised in a home where the false gods of the Moabites had shaped and fashioned her thinking. And now here she was on the road to Bethlehem, where Moab's gods were rejected and the God of Israel was served. I'm telling you, folks, this is a big decision for her to make. Secondly, she had her sister-in-law against her. And by that I mean when the girls were given the option to go back, her sister-in-law succumbed and said, yeah, you know, now that you explain it that way, that's probably a good idea. And she hugged Naomi and she hugged Ruth and she left. She left. She went back home. Orpah was traveling home and was probably a little older than Ruth. She married the older brother, and so she was probably a little older than Ruth. And yet Ruth did not follow her sister-in-law's decision. It would have been an easy way out for her to go home with Orpah. Thirdly, her mother-in-law seemed against her. You see, it would have been terribly difficult to resist those tears flowing down Naomi's honest face as she pleaded from her heart what she didn't want to say, but knew in her heart she had to say. She had to say that. And then fourthly, She had the future against her. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, think about it, folks. Naomi did not paint the girls a very glowing picture of what it would be like living in Bethlehem. When she was telling the girls about what life would be like in Bethlehem, she did not give them very much hope of finding a husband in Israel. She says, I don't have any sons there. And I'm an old woman. I'm not going to have any more children. And if I could find a husband tonight, are you willing to wait 9 months and then 16 years for my son to grow up? so you can get married again. She didn't paint a very good picture, folks. Naomi did not have any good thing to say about what life in Bethlehem was going to be. You see, in those days, Jewish men married Jewish women, and they wanted nothing to do with those outside of their faith. It's stated so in the law. They were not to marry the Canaanites. They were not to marry the Moabites. They had a curse upon them, a curse given by God. And so all of these things were fighting against Ruth and the choice that she had to make. But folks, this is why Ruth's story is in the Bible, because she made the right decision. Now let me apply this. Let me ask you a question. Are you finding it difficult to live for the Lord Jesus now that you're saved? Are you struggling with being obedient to the Lord and following the Lord? Are you finding it hard to follow the Lord Jesus? Let me ask you this. Are you finding it difficult to make the right choices? Are you finding it difficult now that you're saved to change masters? Maybe it is your past that is causing you to stumble and is keeping you from choosing right instead of that which proves to be a wrong choice. You know, folks, how many choices do we have to make a day? You're going to have to make a choice tonight at 6 o'clock. You're going to have to make a choice tomorrow morning. Are you going to read the Bible and pray? You have to make a choice Wednesday night. Are you going to come to prayer meeting? You got to make a choice Thursday night. Am I going to soul winning visitation? I mean, our lives are full of choices. You'll have to make a choice at work when the Lord brings that divine appointment, stands it right in front of you. Life is just full of choices that we have to make. Are you finding it difficult to make the right choices? Are you finding it difficult to follow the Lord? It may be that your past is causing you to stumble. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do about that? You create a new present. That's what you do. How do you do that? Right here in this book. Right here in this church. I mean, you know, maybe it's a relative or a family member or a friend that is making it difficult for you to make right choices. You know, you just might have to evaluate if your friends are pushing you towards the Lord or away from the Lord. And it just may be you got to get some new friends. Choices. Choices. And the choices that you make in life will determine your happiness, your success, or your unhappiness and your failure. Choices. Oh, I'm so glad Ruth made the right choice. I mean, if your friends are not pushing you to greater heights with the Lord, it just may be time for you to get some new friends. I remember when I got saved, I had to get new friends. All my friends wanted me to do was the same old foolish things I had been doing before I got saved. They said, we're going out partying Friday night. I said, I have a youth activity Friday night. Well, which would you rather do? I made the right choice. Ruth made the right decision, even though her situation was rife with difficulties. There's a third thing I want you to see. I want you to notice that her choice was a complete surrender. Complete. I think this is one of the most remarkable things about the story of Ruth, and I don't want you to miss this. As you read this, notice, folks, Ruth did not put any conditions on Naomi. She put no restrictions on Naomi. She put no stipulations upon Naomi. None at all. She was completely surrendered in her choice. Just think about that for a moment. You know, when sometimes someone will ask you to go somewhere with them, and then you sit there and think, okay, and you start thinking of questions. And you will say, okay, well, let me ask you this. What are the accommodations? Do I have my own room? I mean, you don't want to lay there and listen to somebody snore all night long. Come on, go with us. All right, where are we going to eat? How long does it take to get there? But none of that was brought up. Ruth never put one condition upon Naomi. She had taken Naomi's son, Mahlon, once, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, and now she is taking Mahlon's mother with the same commitment. Let Naomi lead, Ruth is willing to follow. If Naomi stops to rest, then Ruth will stop to rest. If Naomi stops to eat, then Ruth will stop to eat. Ruth would not dictate her own wants and desires, but would surrender herself to what Naomi wanted. Her decision was marked by a complete and voluntary surrender of her will. And she even states that in the 16th verse. You see, Naomi believed in the God of heaven. And Ruth saw Naomi's faith. And Ruth had come to believe in Naomi's God, the same God. And so she said, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, that's where I'm going to die. Oh, that we would just follow the Lord Jesus with that same commitment that Ruth followed Naomi. Lord, I'm just going to serve you. I'm just going to serve you. Hey, think about this. What if Ruth had started griping about how hot the sun was? What if she had started griping about how steep the road up that mountain was? Or griping about how hungry she was or how her feet hurt? I mean, they would have come in to Bethlehem a happy duet, wouldn't they? None of that's here. None of that's here. Why? Because Ruth had complete surrender. There was joy with each and every step. There was complete surrender. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Folks, if we could just put the Lord like that in our lives, what could the Lord do with us surrendered unto Him? Then lastly, I want you to notice that Ruth's choice was followed by great reward. Ruth's choice was followed by great reward. All right, everybody got your Bible open? All right, look at this 16th verse. I want to show you something. I've never seen this before, but I saw it this week. Look at verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Now watch this next phrase. Thy people shall be my people. Now look, folks, I want you to think about that. You see that little phrase? Thy people shall be my people. I submit to you that this statement was nothing less than a prayer she was hoping for. She was a Moabite. All she could do was hope that when she got to Bethlehem, that Naomi's people would become her people. That was just hopeful thinking on her part. She was not Jewish. She was a Moabite. The Jews looked at her as a heathen, as a worshiper of false gods. They saw her gods as false gods, and they were taught from their law that they were to loathe and to despise and to abhor the Moabites' false gods. While she may not have looked any different from any other woman in Bethlehem, she was different from every woman in Bethlehem because she had been raised in the world of the Moabites. So when she said this, I think that it was just wishful thinking on her part. Would she be accepted, being someone born outside of the covenant? Well, her reward for surrender was that she was definitely accepted. Just flip over a couple of pages. You know what happened here. She got over into Bethlehem, and there was a kinsman redeemer in the family. And this kinsman redeemer took a liking to Ruth. Don't forget, her name means beautiful. When Boaz saw her, bells started ringing. Oh my, he was smitten. And he decided he would play the role of the kinsman redeemer. And so he stepped up, and they ended up getting married. Look at verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, the father of who? David. Who's David? King David. Wow. Pretty neat, huh? Thy people shall be my people. She had no hope of that happening, but it did happen. God rewarded her for making the right decisions. Hey, folks, if God awarded her for making the right decisions in life, don't you think that that same God will reward you for making the right decisions in life? I do. Would she be accepted? She ended up with a tremendous place among God's people. Oh, her accent was different, but her love for God was strong, and her devotion to Naomi was seen, and the folks of Bethlehem accepted her as one of their own. And her ultimate reward was a Jewish husband, and her ultimate reward was the future king of Israel as a grandson. And her reward was that eventually, several generations later, the Son of God was born in Bethlehem. And it all tied back to Ruth's choice. Not only that, folks, but you keep reading in the Bible, and one day the heavens are going to open, and this same Son of God that was born of Ruth's genealogy, this same Son of God that went to the cross, this same Son of God who was buried and resurrected, this same Son of God who ascended back to heaven, this same Son of God is going to split the heavens one of these days, ride out on a white horse, and come back and sit down upon the throne of David in Jerusalem to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Oh, the story of Ruth and her choice is still being told. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And all of that sprang from the choice that Ruth made many, many centuries ago. Wonder what happened to Orpah. Doesn't say. She just went off into... She gone. But Ruth's still here. Ruth's still here. And we still read about Ruth a couple times a year right here from behind this pulpit. We still teach about Ruth in Sunday school. We still talk about the kinsman redeemer. Yep. All because she made the right choices. Folks, listen. Seek the Lord. That's the key. Here we are. Beginning of a new year, oh, just make up your mind. I'm going to choose for Jesus this year. And let the Lord guide your steps.